For in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then turning over to Hebrews chapter 12. Our sermon text this morning is the first three verses of this chapter, but I'd like to read further into it, reading to verse 17. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And the writer to the Hebrews writes these words. Therefore, and this comes right after the passage that speaks of all the saints of old and the blessing of God upon them, the way God used them and blessed and guided them. And so then we begin. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. May God bless his holy word to us as we look into it this morning. running a long race, such as a marathon, and winning it is not an easy task. I've never run a marathon, but if any of you have, I think you could agree with that. It's not an easy task. Much preparation and effort need to go into it. And it's sometimes hard to keep at it enough to secure the victory. It takes a lot of work. The Christian life is characterized as a race in several places in Scripture. Here in Hebrews 12, we're called to persevere and run the race with endurance. And that's what we want to speak about today. Now, for a Christian, the race starts when we're born again. And it's similar to our physical life. Think of the stages a child goes through. A baby's born and is pretty helpless. Pretty much everything that baby needs has to be provided by somebody else, no matter what it is. And the baby can hardly let you know, other than through a loud screaming cry, that something's wrong and something needs to be done. And it's up to you as the parent to figure out what it is and make sure that that need is met. After a few months, the baby starts to get a little more independent, starts to roll around, and after a while starts to crawl. And around age one or so, the baby stands and takes those first few steps. And it's not long before that baby is running. But there's a lot more to come. Just because you can be on your two feet and run circles around your parents doesn't mean that you're ready to tackle the world. There's school, there's college. After that, there's work, there's marriage. It all began at birth. John chapter 3, the first 8 verses teach us the necessity of the new birth. And so in the Christian life, we must be born again. And Jesus makes that very clear. And if we read those words that he gives us here, and you remember this story, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And so the Christian life begins when we are born again. And that's the work of God's Spirit, who comes into the heart of a dead sinner, gives new life, gives the gift of faith to believe in Jesus, and makes clear God's Word so that that person, that sinner, can understand how deep that sin is and how guilty that sinner is, and how necessary it is to turn to Christ alone, and that Jesus did pay the penalty so deliverance can come to you and to me, because we're not able to do that ourselves. We can't make ourselves good enough to be with God. But Jesus was. And what a blessing it is to know him. Little by little, then, we grow in our understanding of God and his call upon us. It's just like that little baby growing through life. And so if you're a new Christian, you're at the beginning, you're at the early stage. And then you grow and you grow as you study God's Word And that word applies in your life as the Spirit makes it clear to you and teaches you. And you develop and you grow. Endurance is crucial to running the race. All right. We'll see if this is this working good enough so you can hear me. Okay. You can hear me now. Yes. All right. So let's move on. And as we were speaking, the race starts when you're born again. And we start life like a little child spiritually. And we grow as we hear God's word, as we apply God's word in our hearts, as the Spirit makes it clear to us. As we run the race of life, of the Christian life, endurance, the writer here says, is crucial. The race is like a marathon. It's not a sprint. The length of the race varies for each one of us. We don't know how long it's going to be. And we need to prepare for a long race. And so we need to work at that. And consistency is vital. And so you should be seeing consistent growth in your life. And pray for that. That God will work in you to give you that zeal to continue to grow. Now the writer speaks of a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us as we run the race. And you can kind of picture a stadium with the Olympics. The runners are running on the track in the stadium, and the crowd is there, and they witness the race. And as we look back in Hebrews 11, you see that great cloud of witnesses. Witnesses can be both spectators, and they can also be those who relate what they have seen. The Greek word here is the word that we get the word martyr from. And if you think of the martyrs of the faith as they saw and understood what Jesus Christ had done, and the Spirit makes that impressed upon their heart, and they're willing to go out and even give their lives. Paul speaks in using this word about Stephen, and he says in Acts 22, verse 20, "When the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him." And so you look through this list in Hebrews 11, and what a blessing the world has received through God's faithful servants. And they're proclaiming God's faithfulness and God's grace. And we learn from that. And as we study the whole of Scripture, and I urge you all, study the whole of Scripture. And you read through the Old Testament, and you see God's working in the history of His people. These people that are mentioned here, and many others as well. What a blessing it is to see the faithfulness and the grace of God. And as we go to run the race, and as we deal with trials and difficulties in our own lives, we can look back and see how God has blessed those witnesses and be encouraged and strengthened in our own faith. God has built up His church using the gifts He's given to His people through the ages to carry out His perfect plan for His creation. And these witnesses who have gone before us faithfully serving the Lord should be an encouragement then as we face the difficulties and obstacles in our way as we run the race. As we see how God blessed them, and see how God gave them gifts that they could use to advance His kingdom. And then we see how He gives you and me gifts that we can use to advance His kingdom. As we see them faithfully using those gifts, and as we are given opportunity to faithfully use those gifts ourselves. as we see history unfold before us, as they endured trials and hardships along the way and persevered in their faith and in their commitment to serving the Lord. And we then face trials and difficulties in our own lives and persevere in our faith. We're called to run the race with endurance, persevering no matter what obstacles may be in our path. And I don't know what all of your obstacles may be, but there are obstacles that we face in life that make it difficult. The Greek word translated race here is the word that we would get the word agony from. And I found that interesting, that we speak of the race and we speak of agony. And if you've ever run a long race, you've probably felt a little agony. I used to have to run 2 miles for the Army when I was a chaplain, and I would feel the agony after 2 miles. But imagine 26.2 miles. And the word speaks of strife or contention, a contest for victory or mastery, such as was used in the games, the Greek games, running, wrestling, boxing, so on. And sometimes there's agony there. Paul applies the word to the evangelical context against the enemies of our salvation. And he speaks using this in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, "Fight the good fight," using that word there, "of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And then later in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And that, I trust and I hope, will be the words that you speak as you finish the race here on earth. It's a struggle, then. It's a contest. There's contention. In Philippians 1, verses 29 to 30, we read, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict." And there's that word again, that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And so on. In the New Testament, we have the life task of the Christian being this race, enduring the agony as needed, and looking with joy at the finish line. The Greek word translated endurance here means to persevere, to remain under, to bear up under, to be patient, to deal with things that come your way without giving up. It's associated with hope and refers to that quality of character which doesn't allow one to surrender to the circumstances or succumb under trial. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, the Apostle Paul speaks here of remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of steadfastness, being strong, being committed, being faithful, not giving up. And so we endure, we patiently endure. In James 1, verses 2 to 4, we read, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," that word again, "and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There's some important things that we need to do then to run the race with endurance. And the writer calls upon us to put away every weight and sin that will hinder you from putting forth your best effort. The word translated wage here means mass or wage or burden figuratively. It means the weight the contestants, if you think about a race, would put off before they would run. And back in the Greek games, they put off their clothes and they ran without them, but they would have nothing to hold them back. And the writer uses the word every there. He doesn't have any specific hindrance in mind. Nothing must hamper us. Nothing. Don't let anything come in the way of faithfully serving the Lord with endurance throughout your life. Sin in your life is obviously a major burden that would distract you from following the course God has set for you. This is wearing a long robe would entangle the runner and maybe make him fall down and lose the race. And so he would toss it away. Sin clings closely and entangles us. And we need to put it aside, not let it control us. We're called to exercise self-control. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the Apostle Paul, speaking of a race once again, says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So the idea there is to be disciplined as we live our Christian life and exercise self-control. And we're to focus on Jesus. We read in Colossians chapter 3. And there's so many parts of Scripture that we could read, but I've limited it some. But this one, I need to read several verses here. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And so we focus We focus on Jesus. We look to Him. And the word that's translated looking means to look away steadfastly or intently upon a distant object. To fix the mind upon that. And you think of the runner running the race. And you fix your sight on that finish line. And you run toward that finish line. And you don't meander on the way, but you follow the straight line to that finish line. If you meander, you will not be the winner. And so we focus on Christ. Remember that Jesus endured much more than we ever face when He went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, for the sins of all His people throughout all the ages. Think of how much sin He paid the penalty for, even in our own little group here. Remember that Jesus was victorious over sin and death for you and for me, and has opened the way for us to eternal life in the presence of God. Remember that He calls upon us to respond to Him in faith and obedience. And as we focus on Jesus and follow Him, it will help us not to grow weary or faint-hearted when difficult times come our way. And of course, a race and the Christian life, that race has a glorious ending. And as we come to that finish line and we cross that finish line, Jesus is there to put that wreath on our head and to welcome us into His presence for eternity. Jesus brings you home with Him to the mansion He has prepared for you. In John 14, the second and third verses, we read, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." That's His promise to you and to me, as we trust in Him alone. And there'll be no more pain and suffering then, no more trials and temptations, no more stain of sin. But we'll be in the glorious presence of the living and true God for eternity. And so we see the call to persevere and to run the race with endurance. And let us focus our eyes on Jesus as we follow the path He's prepared for us. And so as we think about all these things, a few thoughts here. Remember that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that happens in your life and in the life of your congregation. And you're going through somewhat of a difficult time right now as a congregation. And some are going through difficult times in life. We've heard of accidents and illnesses. But God knows exactly what needs to be done at exactly the right time in exactly the right way. It's not a perfect example to use, but it's the when you think of the plan of God, it can almost be looked at like one of these giant jigsaw puzzles. And every piece in that puzzle has a place. And there's one place for it. And God knows the place for you and for your congregation. And He knows who to put in that place of leadership in the future. And He knows where to put you and how to lead you in all the things that you're going through in your lives, whatever they may be. There's a place and a purpose for everything. We don't always understand. We don't understand why someone might fall asleep at the wheel and end up in the hospital. God has a purpose even for things like that. It's hard to, from our little fallible selves, to understand that. But God knows. And He has a purpose. And so we look to Jesus. We look to Him as you live our lives every day. And as you as a congregation look forward to the future, look to Jesus. Focus on Him. How are you called to serve Him? And who will He have lead you? He has someone. I trust you don't have to wait as long as we waited in Rochester. We waited 7 years, and the Lord is blessed. And we learned how to patiently endure. We had to. And I trust that your wait will be much shorter. But if it isn't, He will be with you. And He'll see you through that, whatever it may be. And remember then that glorious ending that's promised to you when you finish the race. And don't lose heart or grow weary when things in this life don't go as you would hope they would. Because God knows exactly where all the pieces go. And He will bless you and watch over you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for that great cloud of witnesses that show us so clearly Your faithfulness, Your graciousness, Your sovereign control over all things. And Lord, we pray that You would help us as we go through that race, just like those people of old that we see in Hebrews 11 did, that You will bless us and watch over us and guide us. And we know You will, just as You did for them. And we pray for this congregation that You will raise up the leader of Your choice, and that You will bless this congregation as they wait. And that You will bless each one here as we patiently wait upon You in all the things that go on in our lives. For we know that You are the Lord Almighty. You have created the heavens and the earth. You are all powerful and able to do all things according to Your good and perfect purpose and plan. And so bless us as we focus on Jesus. Help us to focus on Him, Lord, to turn away from sin and to trust in You, that You have sent Him to pay the penalty and deliver us from that sin. And help us to focus on Him and to rejoice in Your grace toward us and delivering us through Him. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.